It recording
This
with
call is being recorded.
All right. Thank you guys all for joining into the call. I usually do webinars, or I've done a lot of webinars, I should say. And so the audio thing is different, but you know, as women and moms who are busy, I figured this would be a cool way for us all to connect, to get inspired. We'll keep it short and sweet. And of course, you can even be doing things in the background as we're just doing audio here. So cool. Let's get right into it. I love seeing where everyone's from. We've got people from Tennessee, Virginia, Florida, a couple people here in Illinois with me in the Chicago suburbs. So this is really cool seeing where everyone's dialing in from. So let's get right into it. 10K months with two young kids. We are recording it. Yep, I see some questions here. The call is being recorded and I'll email that out afterward as well. All right, so let's get right into it. This concept of perfection in business and in motherhood, I feel, is something that we probably all struggle with. And I really believe that we have to altogether get rid of this notion that some people are perfect, or comparing yourself to people who seem to have it all down. And that goes for myself too. I mean, the reason I'm doing this call is because I really want to take a stand for saying there's no such thing as perfect. We all struggle. And that's why I want to like pull back the curtains and show you guys what's working, what's not working. And as I said before, the good, the bad, and the ugly, what goes on, and how to still be happy and run a successful business through the chaos and all the things that kind of happen in parenting and in life. So the first thing, getting rid of that notion of perfection and comparing yourself to others, altogether trying to get rid of it, or saying, you know, my version of perfect, if you want to use that word, is going to be different than someone else's, and that's totally fine. What you consider to be your ideal life is going to be different than someone else's, so don't try to strive for what someone else has if it's not in line with you and your family and your guys' needs and things like that. Which brings me to this first point of really get clear on what you actually want. So the lifestyle, the family, where you guys want to be working. Do you and your husband both want to be working from home? Like, what's your ideal vision? How much money you want to be earning on a monthly basis, the kinds of people you want to be working with. And this is really the basics of creating your business, is creating the vision and knowing what you really want to create. And I'm understanding really that a lot of women and moms maybe don't want like a $1 million business, but they just want to have, you know, $5,000 to $10,000 per month consistently coming in. And that would make them feel at ease in terms of financial freedom, or having that little extra money here and there, still having freedom, not having to put their kids in daycare and work 9 to 5 if you don't want to. So paint that picture. And what I would say is really get clear with your spouse or partner, if you're married or not, whatever that looks like for you. For me, you know, it's about talking with my husband and making sure that we are on the same page, having that clarity of, is this what you want? Is this what we're moving toward together? Kind of a thing. So once you actually know what you want in your business, and let's talk about the setup, then it has to get into, okay, how do we make it happen? Which is the stepping stones, right? And I was recording some video footage because we're working on a new video project for a new course I'm doing. And one of my clients was being interviewed, and she used this term or this phrase of, you know, going in circles, feeling like a dog chasing its tail because you kind of have an idea, but you don't actually have the stepping stones of how to get there. Right? So let's break down the stepping stones. First and foremost, morning routine. As a mom, I believe that is really important to wake up before the kids so that you can have a little bit of time to set some intentions for the day. Okay, here's what I'm going to work on. Here are some things that I want to get done for my business. And here's some things that I want to do for pleasure or for fun too. So I think creating a monthly ritual, or if not weekly, something that you do just to take care of yourself is really important. So for me, I do monthly massages. I get my hair done, like the highlights. I keep up with my the things that I like to do, the salon, spa, nails, hair, kind of pampering. That's what I enjoy when I want to take some time away from the kids. So within your morning routine, what I'm trying to say is set that intention of what does it look like? Is it primarily mostly work things that you want to get done? Is there some family thing going on? Or can you schedule in a little bit of self-care and self-love within there as well to do just something that's for yourself? Within that morning routine, I believe in waking up before the kids, and there's no real easy way to do it other than just getting disciplined and creating some kind of a recording for yourself that would wake you up. So on your iPhone, if you have a smartphone, you can create like a recording of yourself, like talking to yourself. So as your alarm, it could say, be your own voice playing, you know what I mean? And giving you a little inspiration message. Hey, Susie, wake up. You know, it's going to be a beautiful day. That kind of a thing. You can literally set that or set a song if that's what gets you going. If it's music, a couple other tips that I've heard for getting up before the kids is creating like an environment that you want to wake up to. So maybe you'll have like a nice, warm, fluffy robe sitting across the room. So if you're feeling chilly, you just, get up and walk straight to that robe and put it on, or having your coffee pot, set or whatever it might be for you. And then really set your intention. So I like to use just grab a notepad. I have a couple cute little journals and pads of paper that I'll just start to write out what are the big things that I want to accomplish today. So it's pretty much only for my business. Sometimes on weekends we'll have family events and things like that, but I've really become pretty good at saying no to things that I don't want to do. And that's definitely a skill that successful people have, is being able to say no to things and not feeling obligated, but just saying, thanks for the invite, but I have different things I need to accomplish. So anyway, setting those intentions right in the morning, what you want to accomplish, if you're going to carve out 2 hours to get your nails done or hair, do that and let your family know. Behind the scenes at my house, my husband and I both work from home. So he doesn't work for my company, but he works for another small business. And so for us, sometimes the mornings are a little bit chaotic, but our kids do have about 4 hours of childcare every day that we utilize. So what that looks like is in the morning, we've identified I'm the person who's going to get the kids dressed and ready. That means breakfast and diapers and get them dressed, at which point then we've really designated my husband to be the one to drive them to their little preschool. So like I said, for us, it's about 4 hours a day. I find that for me, it makes me feel that I'm still the primary caregiver for my kids, and I'm pretty much always there for them. Aside from those 4 hours that I really need to carve out for my clients and my work to create things like videos, recordings, digital products, and also coaching my actual clients that are private clients as well. So that's what it looks like. Sometimes, or before we had a more of a schedule, it was more chaotic. So, there when the kids get sick, that can be stressful, and I understand that sometimes it's going to have to be a little bit more fluid, I guess you'd have to say. It's not maybe always going to be perfect when things happen. Somebody gets sick, or there's some different scenario, somebody's in from out of town or something like that. And just communicating with your spouse is going to be the best way to make sure that all of that goes smoothly. Also, when the kids are sick, I have had to reschedule things with my clients. And for the most part, people, I mean, pretty much always have been extremely nice about that. So don't get too stressed out or hard on yourself if you do have to schedule or reschedule things because of maybe some unforeseen circumstance. sense. Both my kids ended up getting some stomach bug this past few weeks ago. And that was really surprising. Like, our kids have always been really, really healthy. So we kind of freaked out and we were like, oh my gosh, like, they've pretty much never been sick. So this dealing with that was a little bit stressful. You know, and I'll just go ahead and say it that, yeah, there were some arguments and things like that, but we were able to work through it, you know, because at the end of the day, it's about communication and commitment and saying, look, we're sticking to our vision, what we want for our family. We're both clear on that picture. And so we keep moving toward it, even through those stressful times. So next up is going to be getting help. If you have kids or any other responsibilities too, it's okay to get help for that. And I know some women don't feel that it's like they feel nervous to ask for help, or they kind of stray away from it. Like, oh, I don't want to, you know, put out someone else, or I don't want to, it's like some people have a hard time asking for help. And I guess I've never been one of those people. I always feel that if someone offers, then I'm willing to take them up on it. So for example, the kids do not do well on Sundays at church. They're very active. And so my mom, grandma, you know, the kids' grandma decided, hey, why don't you just drop them off at my house so you guys can go to church, or, you know, go out for dinner afterward if you want to make a little date out of it. And so I would say, great, I will take you up on that, you know, because that person is offering out of kindness, and it's okay to say yes. The other thing, as I mentioned, during the days, those 4 hours are really golden, quiet time where I can get a lot of things accomplished. And the reason that I can do that is because I've set my rates and my prices at a point where I can afford childcare. Okay. So, you know, my husband, when he ended up quitting his corporate job, so basically when my business started doing really well, he decided to quit the corporate 9-to-5 and took more of this flexible job where he can work from home. And he actually is making a lot less money than at the corporate job. But the reason he was able to do that is take that flexible work at home position is that I was making more money. So I was actually, you know, kind of meeting him in the middle. Actually, I make more than him most months at this point, but still, like, he kind of hangs on to that because it's his passion. He loves what he does. And I guess the point that I'm making here is make sure that you're charging enough that you're working actively on growing your business to the point where you're going to be able to afford a couple hours of childcare here and there if the kids are not yet in school age or whatever that might be. You have to be able to have time to work on your business if you want it to grow. It's not magic. It's not going to grow by itself. I believe that in order for me to have quiet time, it's just simply the most productive. There's no way to go around it. If I'm trying to work while the kids are home playing, or if they're sick, or, you know, childcare didn't work out for some reason, maybe they're on vacation or whatever, those days, I simply have to wait until the evenings, like when they're sleeping, or wake up and work in the morning or nap times, because trying to work with the kids and just ignoring them or getting frustrated or giving them, you know, snacks and just like watch TV, like that's not really my style. I feel really guilty about that. So either be with the kids fully, hang out with them, dance with them, play on the floor, like really be the mom who's present there. Or if you're going to work, just make sure that they're being tended to by someone else, obviously. And the way to do that is to really raise your rates to the point where you can afford to do it. Which will bring us into really the income side of this conversation. So, you know, kind of the behind the scenes of what's going on, the income side, the money side, are you setting yourself up for $10,000 months? If that's your goal, that would be my question to you. What are the price points of your services or products? And this is some basic stuff that I go over with my clients when we start working together. You have to have a business that actually it is properly aligned or it makes sense that you could make $10,000 per month or more if that's your goal. So what that looks like is you should have packages that are, you know, $500 up to a couple thousand dollars per month if you're doing a service-based model. Because if you do, say you're a designer, graphic designer, or you do websites, marketing services, something like that. If you have packages that are $1,000, $2,000, naturally it's going to be very doable for you to hit the $10,000 mark. Because if you have a $1,000 package, then you need 10 clients and you're at 10K, right? And the same thing if you're selling digital products. If your digital product is $100, then how many are you going to need? And I'm not a mathematician, so I'm actually going to have to pull out my calculator for that one. So if your goal is $10,000 divided by 100, so you need about, what, 100 client or 100 sales, right? So this is the basics of business, kind of 101. Set yourself up. Set your prices high. I've seen a lot of moms and women who don't value themselves enough, so you're charging way too low. If you're charging 20, 30 bucks an hour, are you realistically going to hit your numbers that you want to? And here's another kicker. If you're not charging enough for your prices and you're not setting yourself up as a premium brand, and that's something that anyone can do, is to set yourself up with premium prices. You have to obviously work on your packages, work on adding value, and then work on who you're targeting. But if you're not, if you're completely missing that boat and you're charging way too little, or if your products are a couple dollars, we're talking $5 products, and you don't even have a list of people or an audience, you have no way to get to 10K, then it's unrealistic. And what can happen is that you get stressed out, and you get resentful too. You actually start to hate your business or dislike working with people because you're not getting paid enough. You know what I mean? And that's something that is so key. Do you feel like you're getting paid enough to the point where you love what you do? Because there is truly a value exchange. Like, you're giving the best of the best, what you have, your passion, your, what you have, your skill set, your passion, your purpose, you're bundling that up into your, what you offer, your offerings, and then you're getting paid what you're worth. So that's a beautiful exchange that sets you up to be successful and fulfilled, right? Does it happen like with a snap of a finger? No, it's going to take a little bit of a trial and error to find out what feels like it's getting to the point where you're charging rates that you feel happy about. Like, what does that look like for you? Maybe if you've been charging 10 or 20 bucks an hour for certain projects or work, well, let's kick that up to 50. And then after that, kick that up to 100. Or, you know, I actually teach the concept of doing more of a package rate. So if you have a service-based model, you'd want to package it and create a monthly retainer or a monthly price point. And at that note, I would say you have to pick, like, what is your bare minimum, like, don't bug me price. Like, don't bug me if this is under $300. I'm not going to touch it. You have to start creating those kind of boundaries. For me, it used to be $500, and now I'm increasing that. So in the past, it was, if some job project or client or anything came to me and said, I want your one-on-one time, I want you to do this, but it's under $500, I would usually say no. Unless it's like a speaking engagement where I would have access to thousands of people or new prospects, new clients and leads. If there's the value there, then yeah, I would explore it. But if not, you know, if someone's just asking to have one consultation with me and it's not worth my time, you simply have to draw that line, that kind of don't bug me if it's less than this, because I have a family to feed, I have a successful business to run, and I'm not going to get there by working for peanuts. You know what I mean? It's just not going to happen. So that comes with valuing yourself, that self-worth and respect. And the only way to get there is to start taking action and start moving toward it. Because just sitting around and thinking about it is absolutely going to be worthless. And that is something that a lot of women who do not yet have a successful business that's making money, they've just been sitting around and thinking about it for way too long without getting into action. Okay, so let's move to the next thing. which is scheduling and planning. So I chunk out my day based on kind of categories, and with those intention settings, basically in the morning, you want to write out the kind of chunks of things you want to accomplish, whether that's going to be creating content, whether that's going to be a personal time, or whether that's going to be time with your service-based clients and things like that. You want to get into the habit of chunking out what you have to get done. And that also gives you more confidence. So something I want to touch on: when you get into these routines, when you set intentions for your day and you accomplish the things that you want to, it actually gives you the confidence internally. And also people start noticing that you're a more confident person. You raise your prices and people see like, well, she must be worth it because she really believes that she can get that rate. You know what I mean? So that confidence happens through action, through moving forward and not circling around, you know, in circles, so to speak. All right, cool. So I would love to take any questions that you guys have at this point. I'd love to know if there's anything that I skimmed over that you would want me to go deeper into. Go ahead and type into the chat bar if you have a question. Otherwise, you could also type into the Facebook group. I'll go check out and see if there's any questions in the Facebook group as well, because I know some of you were talking. If you're not currently in there, there's the Inspired Income Club is a Facebook group that's for free. So just shoot me an email if you don't yet have access, and we'll get you in there. All right. So questions. I'd love to see what you guys are feeling that you'd want me to go deeper into. Okay, so I have one question here that a woman's asking about time management. So if you're currently in a full-time job as well as creating your business, how do you manage that? So that is one of the toughest places to be is when you're kind of juggling the full-time job as well. And so here would be my advice to you in that area. You're going to have to work a little bit harder at the beginning and work in the evenings or in the mornings before work or after work, and definitely utilize your weekends as well. If you're currently at a 9-to-5 job that you're trying to get out of, you're going to have to explore other options as kind of a bridge job, so to speak. And what I did when I left my 9-to-5, my husband and I made the conscious decision to have a house that costed less than we were capable of. So it was living below our means, really. We could have afforded a house probably double the size of what we were living in, but we picked a really small house, our first one. It had like 2 bedrooms upstairs and had a space downstairs. It was in Wisconsin. It was really affordable. Our mortgage was like $800, which is unheard of around where I'm at right now, because we did end up moving. But the point was, we decided, okay, I'm planning to quit my job because I want to be part of the kids' lives. We knew we wanted to have kids at the very beginning when we got married. So we set ourselves up so that I could be flexible, have a creative business, and begin to explore that route, right? So living below your means is a great way to get yourself out of that strapped feeling that, okay, well, my mortgage is $2,000. How am I going to do the business and have the job? You need to start shifting the pieces a little bit, right? And if you look at my story with Jason, we've always been shifting our little pieces, right? So I quit the 9-to-5, but we were still able to afford the house on his income. And right away, I started working part-time. So I found like a part-time freelance thing that was pretty stable, I guess you could call. I was getting about $40 an hour, and this was years ago. We're talking like 3 years ago, probably, that I was doing that part-time job. So we definitely were able to afford our house, our expenses and everything. And then I began growing my business because I had the extra time. I was only working part-time. So with that extra time, growing the business, after that, then I ended up quitting that job completely, the job that was paying about $40 an hour. I was part-time because at that point I said, I'm doing my own business, my own brand, Susie Romans, full-time. I'm going all in. I'm cutting all the ties from anything else that's stable, but it's not serving me. Like I felt that it wasn't part of my overall vision. So quit that job. And it was a little bit scary. You guys might remember my when I was talking about in some of my videos and things I've said where I had that meltdown where I was crying on the floor for 3 days on the bathroom floor. And I told my husband, oh my gosh, we're probably going to lose the house. Because at this point, we got a bigger house. We had our second child. We wanted something bigger. We also moved closer to the Chicago suburbs. And so it was risky to jump out of that stable thing for me because I was still pulling in a few thousand every month from that job. So then I went into my own business full time. And within about 60 days, I quit in like May or June. By August, I had my first $10,000 month. So if you're giving yourself the excuse that you need a lot of time, I would say that's BS. You don't need that much time. 60 days to 90 days is plenty of time for you to get yourself running with a service or a business. Service-based is probably the fastest way to get rolling at the very beginning because you are, if you don't have a massive following, so it would be a different conversation if you had thousands of email subscribers and a massive following. Maybe if you have a successful blog, we could talk digital products. But if you don't have that kind of a following yet, you're going to have to start out with more of a service-based, something that you could do, whether that's life coaching or graphic design or project management, whatever your thing might be, you have to start selling that service first. A lot of people that have been following me usually do social media as well, because that's how I got started in the freelancing world, was managing social media for local businesses. It was something that came naturally and easily to me. I trained myself, essentially, because they weren't teaching social media while I was in college. So not a huge learning curve, you know, but it was a service that I could throw out there and get paid for. So setting yourself up for moving the pieces, shifting the pieces. Okay, so I was telling you about the point where I quit all the stable job, went into Susie Roman's brand full time, and at which point I had the freak out. But then because I was backed into a corner, it's amazing what kind of results you produce when you're backed into a corner like that. And there's a thing going around Facebook right now that was shared in my group on Facebook on this woman, I think Lisa Nichols, was talking about the same thing, where she hit rock bottom and was not even able to buy diapers for her son because she didn't have $20. And she was wrapping her son in towels. And it's like, when you hit rock bottom, or like for me, when I quit that job and was like, oh my gosh, I have no choice. I have to pull in about $3,000 this month, or else we won't pay our mortgage. Then this fighting spirit comes out of you and you're like, I'm going to make this happen no matter what. I'm going to make this happen. So that's what happened to me. And I believe it happens to a lot of women, because if you are a mom and you want to protect and take care of and nurture your children, you're going to do whatever it takes. But enjoy the process too, you know? So at the beginning, it might be a little bit like not exactly your dream business, but keep shifting it. And that's what I meant by like shifting the pieces, moving the puzzle. After my business became successful and I was making a lot more money, as I said, Jason ended up quitting his job so that he could do something more creative and fun. And he's home now with us full time and works with that startup company. So it's been about shifting and kind of dreaming up what's ideal, what's not. You know, what we've talked about working together, Jason and I, you know, him jumping into my business. But I don't know. I mean, he hasn't expressed that he's like ready to do that, or I don't know how that would even work, because sometimes our communication is not the best. We are working on that, to be honest with you. We're taking some like couples classes and marriage type, kind of like counseling, I guess you would say, but kind of marriage enrichment stuff. Because you know what? It's been stressful. It's been a lot of changes for us. We've had two different houses. We've had two kids. We've changed our careers, careers and jobs quite a bit. And that's only been in the span of about 4 or 5 years. So dealing with that stress, being able to talk to other people is really profound. And working from home, both of us, we have to be really disciplined about getting out of the house and finding friendships, finding something to do, whether that's going to the gym or doing like a Bible study. You know, I go to a women's group at church every Thursday. So, you know, meeting up with friends and getting out of the house is really important as well. So cool. That sums up that thought that I had in answering that question. Do you guys have any other questions? I'm going to pop into the Facebook group. Check out the Inspired Income Club in case anybody has any questions in there. I'll go check it out right now. Okay, so Michelle, I see your comment here. Any thoughts on a mom who works full-time with teenagers? How do you manage time for evenings and family? All right, so I don't have teenagers yet, but managing times with, evenings. Now, Michelle, I'm not sure if you work full. Yeah, you do. It says here you work full time. Is there any way to get your family? I would ask you this question. Is there any way for you to get your family on board with your business? Like, could you make that something you would all do together? That would be my question to you. Someone that I look up to that has teen-aged kids, like teenagers and in their 20s, is Dani Johnson. And I know her whole family works on her business together. So it's really cool to see her live events and things that she's come up with, digital products and programs. And I know that her kids are actually helping with some of that. So that'd be an interesting question that I would pose to you. Is there a way that you guys could all do something together? Maybe if you wanted to do YouTube videos, if one of your teenagers is interested in learning how to do video editing or recording video, like talk about it. See, like, hey, would you want to help mama, you know, help mom with a photo shoot or a video shoot? And I'll let you edit this and I'll show you how to do it. Or, you know, is there a way to do it all together? And if not, I would say, the teenagers then chunk out the time. If you're not going to do the business elements together, then separate out, okay, from 6 to 8, it's going to be family time. And then after that, from 8 to 10, it's going to be you time. So kind of split it in half would be my second piece of advice if that first one doesn't work out for you. So, all right, cool. Is there any other questions? I'll pop back in the group. If you guys don't know what I'm referring to, it's the Inspired Income Club group. I have a free community on Facebook. If you're not on there, go ahead and pop in or send me an email and my assistant can get you an invitation. So cool. All right, my friends. Well, I hope this was extremely helpful. I wanted to keep it short and to the point, so we kept it around 30 minutes, which is great. Feel free to send over any questions. I am currently working on a brand new program that is, I'm pouring my heart and soul into this new one, and it's called the Sweet Freedom Academy. So just stay tuned for news on that. It's definitely not open yet, but it will be in a couple weeks. So if you are looking for the how-tos, the screenshots or screen recordings of how I built my website, how I package and set my prices, how to do digital products, automating things, I mean, we're covering from idea to income all the way down to automating your business. We're going to be covering that inside of the Sweet Freedom Academy. And that's sweetfreedomacademy.com. If you want to get on the wait list, it's a bun in the oven. It's cooking up and it's not ready yet, but we'll keep you all posted. So I hope you guys have a beautiful day. Thanks for tuning in. And I will catch you guys in another video or call.